Good morning. And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, today I spent just about the whole week trying to come up with a good title. The Lord said, "Do you have anything for me?" Go, "Not yet. It's just not coming." And even this morning, I don't like this one. I don't like that title. So Daryl helped me. So thank you, Daryl. So with Daryl's help, the theme for the day is cleaning house. Yeah. And we'll explain that in a minute. But we're going through the book of Mark once again, and we're in Mark 11. And last week we talked about, remember, going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and how many times, and many churches actually, that was a lesson for the first Sunday in Advent. So that all worked out because last Sunday was the first Sunday in Advent. So it worked out, and Jesus came into Jerusalem with all the majesty, everyone praising His name, and a very exuberant time of praise, which was going on that Palm Sunday. And then come the next day. Now, you may wonder, or others may wonder, did Jesus have a bad Monday after Palm Sunday? Was He in a bad mood, just was feeling grumpy? What's the deal with this? Well, we'll explain that. But here we go. The next day, that is, that Monday, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, He went to find out if it had any fruit. When He reached it, He found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then He said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And His disciples heard Him say it. Now, sometimes I get a little grouchy when I'm hungry, but this is not the case of Jesus. He was hungry, but He was not grouchy. He was not in a bad mood. He was always following His Father, right? Always had perfect vision for the Father, and did only what His Father wanted Him to do. Even in the situation, as perplexing and as confusing Jesus' behavior may be, but we remember His ways are not our ways. And He always has a reason for what He's doing, even if we don't get it, right? In our own lives, even today. So Jesus was hungry, but it wasn't about His hunger. It wasn't that He needed a good fig tree, a fig right now, and He was grouchy because He just saw leaves and maybe there's no fruit, and maybe you get that way with your trees. I remember trying to grow an orange tree and a lemon tree in Ahwatukee at my first house I bought here in Ahwatukee, learning instead of growing sweet corn and tomatoes and zucchini and all the good stuff in the Midwest, that, well, I'll try my hand at some of this Southwestern stuff and try the orange tree and the lemon tree. At first, it took a long time to get any fruit. I thought it would happen the next year, that if I planted a tree, by golly, there should be fruit next year. Well, it didn't work that way. Eventually, it did. More fruit than we wanted, but it took time. Jesus was not impatient. He was not in a bad mood, but He was teaching a lesson about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Israel that had lost its fruitfulness. It was totally corrupt. The system in the temple, as we'll see here a little bit, was so corrupt that God couldn't find much fruit in the temple among God's people. Because we're called in the Bible to bear fruit, right? Bear fruit and show yourself to be My disciples, Jesus said in John 15. Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All are a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. And Daryl, we were talking, when was it? Last Sunday, I think, about the importance, again, of the Holy Spirit. That unless the Holy Spirit comes and really moves us and fills us with His enlightenment, none of this makes any sense whatsoever, right? Jerry, before you just drop your wifey off here, and I'd see you with your ball cap on the car, and I'd wave at you a little bit, and that was about it. You didn't want to set foot in this place, did you? No, but what happened to you? And then you came, and everything changed, right? Now he goes to not only worship, but Bible class as well. So it takes the Holy Spirit, and then when He grabs us, there is fruit. There's a change in lives with Daryl and Jerry and Bruce and Paul, all of you. You know, all of us have been changed by God, right? But a lot of people have not changed. There's no change whatsoever. There's no transformation at all. It's just go to church, and there's no change. We come in, and we leave the same way. Without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, there's a big difference. A big difference. So Jesus is calling out the people on His last week of His earthly ministry that there needs to be a reformation and a revival because it's a dead church, it's a dead nation. It's lost its fruitfulness from what it used to be in the days of King David. We're talking about in the Psalms of King David and the king and the kingdom of God. And when the other prophets would come and try to warn the people that the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, and they didn't care, and they were going off and doing their own thing. So Jesus used that as an illustration. Because now let's go a little bit further in the text and see what happens the next day. So this is Tuesday morning. You can't blame that on a bad Monday. Now it's Tuesday morning, and in the morning, verse 20, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. So one day, it was green, it had leaves, but no fruit. But it looked healthy, but it didn't have fruit. Jesus curses the tree. He didn't use curse words, but he put a curse on it, and may you not bear fruit again. Come back the next day, what happened to the tree? Just like that. Just like that. It's all withered. The disciples go, wow. They were quite moved by that, as you can imagine, right? It's like, well, what happened here? And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree curse is withered. So there wasn't a reaction, and Jesus used this as an object lesson. And we all are called to remember what Jesus is doing then, but also what is he doing now? So we're called to be fruitful. Well, that's not the whole thing, because Jesus did something else. On the next day, after he had that day, the day of on Monday of going to the fig tree and cursing it, look here in verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. He's finally come to Jerusalem. Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? But the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. This is called, in the text, or the heading in your Bibles, it says Jesus clears the temple. Actually, most of the time it's called about cleansing the temple, and Pastor Rich preached on that. That there's probably two different occasions that Jesus cleansed the temple. And this is the second occasion. And Pastor Rick, when he talked about this, he mentioned, he went through the whole outline of the temple courts, remember that? And that you had the one area for the Gentiles in the outer court, and Gentiles could go to that part of the church or the temple to worship God. And God made provisions for the non-Jewish people to have a place to worship. So God took care to make sure of all that, right? In fact, in Isaiah 56, there's a whole chapter, as well as Isaiah 60, talking about those who aren't part of the in-group of the Jewish people, that God loves them and was going to bring them in. In fact, he says this about that time that would come with the Messiah, back in Isaiah 56. These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. God loves lost people, right? He wants to always be reaching out to them. In fact, he wants us to be reaching out to those who have not heard about him and don't know the good news. Now, Charles, I'm going to pick on you. Because it was about, 6 weeks ago that your power went out at your house? It was about a month ago or something like that. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I don't know if I mentioned this. Some people, I mean, it was in Bible class, but there was a big game going on in Charles' life, as there's always, as every Sunday, as you can tell, there's apparel with the Carolina Panthers. They were playing the Seattle Seahawks. It was a big game. At that time, we thought the Seahawks were really good this year, and Charles was a little bit concerned about this game, how it was going to turn out, because that was a big game at the time before they've gone 8-0 or 9-0 now. 11-0. Must be. Got to get right. Anyway, so I was listening on the radio, because I don't have all the Red Zone and all the stations you guys have. I just got basic cable, $5.84 a month. I have basic cable. So I didn't have that game on my TV, but I was listening on the radio. And I heard about it, so I text Charles. I said, wow, this is something else, isn't it? Because they were beating Seattle. I get a call right away. He says, what's going on? I got to know what's going on. What's going on? I go, well, what do you mean, what's going on? He says, my power went out, I can't get to my internet. I can't use my phone. My TV doesn't work. And that's the end of the game. What happened? So I said, well, here, listen. So I put my phone to the radio and let him hear the rest of the game. And he said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe the rain's coming down sideways. My power's out. It's the end of the game. So I gave him the good news, right? So you weren't in the dark. Well, in some ways you were in the dark, but in other ways you weren't in the dark because you found out about your team won, right? That was funny. What's that? I shared the good news, right, and that's the point. Well, we've got a lot of people who come to us and are empty. And they don't know what the answer, who the answer is, but sometimes people, like a jail particularly, are desperate. And they'll grab us and say, I need help. I am desperate. And when we get to that point of really being desperate to know, as you were, I'm desperate to know what's going on in my life. What can I do? God is there, and He has a place for everybody, no matter who they are, how bad they are. It's this place here, His house, which is called to be a house of prayer for all people, all ethnic groups, not one group, not another group, not just Anglos, not just Latinos, but coming together, all groups, all ethnic groups together, different backgrounds, different personalities, different financial status. It doesn't matter. When we come here hungry for God, we feed on the bread of life, right? That's what it's at. That's what the church is supposed to be. But what had happened over the years, just like today, since, 350 A.D., the church had some problems and started institutionalized and lost its power, lost its fire. So also the Old Testament, the church was in decline, and the glory was leaving more and more the temple. So when Jesus came on Palm Sunday, all these religious leaders were doing their thing in the temple, and God wasn't in the temple. God was outside on a donkey, riding a donkey into town, and they missed it. They missed Jesus. They missed His presence altogether. So there needed to be a cleansing, a cleaning up of God's house. It was like time to clean house. Now we had the house cleaning here at the church, had the church cleaning. That's important. I have got so much cleaning to do in my house this afternoon, it's unbelievable. I don't think I have a clean dish. Maybe dirty, I'm going to be clean clothes, so I'm going to be doing all afternoon, getting caught up from a crazy couple of weeks. So we all have to take time out to do some cleaning, right? And we have different products. We have 409 or whatever it might be that we can clean all the products, you know. But what does God do? God brings not 409, but He brings His Word to cleanse us. Jesus, death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit, the washing of the Word. Whenever, have you ever noticed when you're in the Word of God, it'll change your attitude, it'll change your thought process. You have a lightness about you, that the heaviness is gone, right? And there's a change when we're in contact with God's Word. And God does some cleaning up. Well, He cleans us up, right? And it's not just individuals, but the church needs to be cleansed and cleaned up, right? Not just the physical aspect, though, that's very important, but inside. What is the church doing? So our council is always asking, comparing what we're doing to, not have we ever done it this way before, but to God's Word. We have devotions before we start in, and we pray before anything happens, and there is a saturation of the Holy Spirit there and Camino de Fe and other ministries, but we want to do it God's way. And Pastor Rick's always talking about get back to the Word of God at least 15 minutes a day. Read it with your heart, not your head, and let Him change you. Let Him change you. We can't change you. You can't change you. You can't change your kids. You can't change your husband or wife as much as you'd like to with poking them in the ribs during a sermon. That does not work. It has to come. It's an inside job. The Holy Spirit has to bring the change, and then there will be fruit. It will be delicious fruit. It won't be dried up. It won't be old and ripe, overripe, and it'll be not spoiled, but truly delicious, juicy fruit that we have a change in our lives and people can see a difference. So God wanted to change things and clean up His house. It was time for a cleanup. There's always a time where God brings people in for a revival. You can't have revival unless there's been some deadness. You have a move of God, and you have a power of God, but revival by its very nature is bringing new life to something that's dead. So revival is bringing new life back into something that's gotten stale and dry and lukewarm. And that's why we have Camino de Fe. That's why people went there over the weekend and had their lives totally changed. We'll get to that in a little bit. But that's not the only move. There are other moves of God. Are you changed when you hear God's Word? If you don't go there, what about here? Right? What about Bible class? There's a change, right? The Word and the Bible doesn't really talk much about studying God's Word, maybe one time. Every other time it's in the context of meditation, not academic study. It's chewing on God's Word, it's reflecting on it, it's meditating on it, it's applying it to our lives, it's living it out day by day, and telling our children as we go along our way, walking and talking with them, wherever we're going, it's a part of our daily life. It's not a religious exercise, the Word of God. And when that happens, there is revival in a church, and it does get cleaned up. And one of the difficult times is when a pastor goes into a church and they find out that wasn't in the call documents. You find out the real story of a church. I remember when I was sent to Ahwatukee from St. Louis, they said, oh, we've got this beautiful prime location for a church, and we want you to do it. You're the one. Well, I didn't know that the people really didn't want me. And they had a Lord of Hosts Lutheran Church, so we had to change the name of the church, change the leadership, get it going to be outreach-centered. And then, oh, they said, oh, by the way, that property that's available for you, oh, there's an interest payment on that, and we owe about $150,000 on that, and this is a mission church. So anyway, it was a long story. We got through it all, but it was crazy. But you don't find the whole story sometimes, you know. And when you go in, you realize that there's got to be change. If this church is going to survive, it's got to change. Like Advent Lutheran, right? The church had to change. And Pastor Rick knew that. You were willing to accept that, right? That there had to be change and bring new life and new people in. And look at now. Look now. Thanks be to God, right? Yeah, you're lucky for. And think of what happened with Pastor Rick's vision of Communion of Faith. It takes a vision to go from something monumental like that, just an idea, to actually letting it come out and having this wonderful weekend that we had last weekend. But that's what God uses situations like that to change lives. And that's what keeps us going, right? Is reaching out to other people. So Jesus comes, though, to the temple, and it's nothing like this. The outer courts, instead of a time of an atmosphere, and you know what it's like when you have an atmosphere of prayer, and it just saturates the place, right? And you just feel God's presence, right? We've all felt that from time to time, that warmth, that presence. On the other hand, if there's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of craziness going on, can you imagine this? The people will go for prayer, and the outer courts, instead of a time of prayer, the prayer rooms turn into an animal house because they got storing wild animals because, after all, they do have to have a sacrifice. But here's the problem. Religion became a matter of convenience. Oh, we'll take care of the animals. You don't have to raise an animal for the sacrifice of the temple. We'll take care of it for you. We'll be the middleman. So all you have to do is get out your wallets. Oh, there'll be a little charge, maybe four times as much, if not more. But we'll take care of your needs. Just charge it. So you see what happened? It was just a matter of convenience. So I don't have to worry about it until I get to the temple. Then I'll worry about it. I'll pay for it. Somebody else will do the sacrifice for me. So they go there. Here's all these squawking animals of doves all over the place and lamb bleeding and smelly and everything else and noisy. And you got the money changers because you have people coming from different parts of the world. So they had to do the change. Oh, yeah, we can take care of it for a fee, of course, but we'll change the money into our money here. Absolutely. So you got money, you got animals, you got all this commotion going on. Does that sound like a great atmosphere for prayer? It's where the Gentiles worship, right? It's called the place of prayer for the Gentiles, right? Except it no longer was a place of prayer. And Jesus had cleansed the temple once before. How do you feel when maybe you've cleaned the house, right? And maybe you go away and you come back and it's not clean. And others, not real happy, right? I already cleaned this. What happened? That's what Jesus felt. He already cleansed the temple once and here we go again. He was not happy. He was not in a bad mood, but it was called righteous anger. He looks at his house, God's house. He has zeal for his house. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old, where was he? God's house. His parents said, oh, he's out playing somewhere, and they didn't think to check church that maybe the 12-year-old would be in church. And he was. And he was sitting and listening, asking real deep questions of the priest and stumping the priest. But anyway, Jesus is back in the house, and he says, this is my dad's house. How dare you turn this into this? Because people aren't going to be saved in this kind of climate. They're not going to get to feel God's presence. So he started knocking things over, knocking things, all the tables, money flying, animals all over the place. And he said, get out. He tried to drive all that out so it could be what it once was, a place for God's people to receive God's presence. Right? And that's what the restoration, the reformation, the revival, all that's tied into this. Get the house back in order. Get your house back in order. It's time to clean house. And talk about flipping this house. We talk about people buy old houses, fix them up, flip the house for a lot of profit. Well, here we have Jesus going to God's house and literally flipping the house upside down to get it right side up the way God wants it to be, to have a reformation, a cleansing. Now, I remember one time when I thought my kids were doing real well. This is middle school. And my wife at the time and I, we said, let's go on a vacation just us. And let's just see how the kids do. Sure, we had no problems with them. We came back from our trip. The house was a mess. They had had a big party of high school kids, and they were in middle school, I guess, middle school, high school. It must have been a great time. And we had two police officers living in the neighborhood that told us as soon as we got back into town what had happened. I looked at the house. I remember losing it, just losing it. There were big black marks on the carpet of cigarettes ground into the carpet and stuff all over the place. I was so mad that my daughter ran away. She ran away for a couple days. She knew I'd be ticked. And they didn't get it cleaned up. And anyway, that was a whole eye-opening awakening of when kids kind of rebel and parents' eyes wake up. Remember Denise and Debbie? Talking about that. What happened? Where did my kids go? Right? Well, they come back and they thank you and they become more responsible. But anyway, that's what happened. Well, God feels to his children. He says, what happened to my kids? They used to come to me all the time. They're not talking to me anymore. They're not listening to me anymore. They don't even love me anymore. What happened? And it breaks his heart, right? And so God brings pastors and others who know the gospel and they live the gospel to try to reach out to them. And now that you've been reached, it's just your turn to reach out to others. But we have to have the right place to bring them, and thank God we have a place, a safe place, for all who really want to know God. If you can't experience God here in His presence, something wrong, right? Because He's here. God is in the house as we sing that song, right? God is in the house, and we don't want Him outside, because the scary thing is what happened in the Old Testament, where the glory of God, Ichabod, means the glory has departed. They kept doing the religious thing, but without the glory of God, without the presence of God, and that's what happens. And somebody said that tradition is what you have left when the Spirit leaves the church building. All you have is empty tradition, and you don't have the Holy Spirit. But we don't want that to happen, right? Pastor Rick keeps praying about that. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from us. So we have to keep cleaning the house. We have to have a church cleaning all the time. We have to have a soul cleaning all the time. Every day we talk about confessing and repenting our sins and realizing God's forgiveness and starting over and over and over and over again. We talked about that community of faith, repentance, metanoia, getting a new mind and refreshing and renewing our mind over and over and over. Because guess who's trying to talk to us all the time? The devil and the world and our own sinful flesh is bombarding us with their messages, and we had to say, stop it. Stop that and let God with a still, small voice speak. And sometimes people get so busy this time of year, they can't even hear. They can't even hear God anymore. Because all the other noise of this time of the season has taken over. Well, we don't want that to happen in our lives, and we don't want that to happen in our church, right? It's like, not on my call, not on my duty here, not on my watch. This is God's church, and we are all, not just pastors, we're all responsible to come in here prepared for worship and to engage in worship so that when others come in here, they feel a whole group of people connected with God, not just up here, but all of us, right? And may the Lord continue to help us as we have a house cleaning, that we continue to just let God work. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your working in the lives of people, Lord, and precious souls in the community of faith, and here at Amazing Grace, we ask, Lord, that You do not take Your Holy Spirit from us, Lord. That You continue to pour out Your gifts, that we would still be filled with Your presence to the point we bear fruit. And that we continue to reach out to people that don't know the good news, that are sitting in darkness with a power failure in their lives, and the lights are out. That you would bring the power and the light into their lives, Lord. But Lord, wake us up. Keep our enthusiasm, keep our fire, keep our faith going red hot, so that we will go out and not be distracted and not give up, not be detoured by this world or by Satan. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for all those that are worried about terrorism in the world and, yes, even our own country. Lord, we look to you, Lord, for your power and for you to be on the throne, Lord. We call out to you, Lord, for peace in our land. We ask for revival in our country, Lord. We sing revival, bring them all back home. We pray for revival in our nation. We pray for revival in Phoenix, Arizona. And this time of year, when it seems to be, instead of a holy day, it's a holiday time to get drunk and to just get wild and crazy, Lord, we ask that you would turn people who used to rejoice in you and spend holidays in your house, would come back to your house and receive you and be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, help us to have faith. If there are some that lose their faith, you tell us to have faith in God. And if anyone says to a mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and does not doubt but believes, it will happen. Lord, you tell us that whatever we ask in prayer, believe and we'll have it. Lord, help us to have faith. Increase our faith this time of season, Lord. Help us to be at bless this time, Lord. Our Wednesday night group of studying your prophecies and the miraculous working power of you, Lord, both then and now. Whatever it is you use, Lord, increase our faith. The disciples said, increase our faith, Lord. We pray, increase our faith. Make it stronger, Lord. So that beginning of the new year, we're at a stronger place spiritually than we are right now. And a stronger faith, willing to step out more than we are right now. Be more bold than we are right now. More loving, more joyful than we are right now. We don't want to stay the same. Help us to keep growing. Help others to grow, not stagnate. For those who were red hot, on fire for you, that were part of the jail service or part of our church here and have left and gone back into the world, bring them back, Lord. Bring them back, Lord Jesus. We cry out for the lost. We cry out for our families, that you bring our families back, Lord. And help us not to stop praying. We pray for miracles, a healing for Olivia and for Kathy and for others, Lord, need healing, Lord. We cry out to you. For Chris Bishop, Lord, we cry out to you because we know that you work powerfully. And we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do as you increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.